Well, let's turn in our Bibles tonight to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and I'll give you a little something here. 1 Thessalonians 5, there's all kind of snippets in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, little good things in there. And there's one little phrase right in the middle of verse 14 that we want to look at. Just a little three-word phrase, and I think there's some help in there for us tonight. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. That's not the one. Comfort the feeble-minded. That's not the one. Support the weak. That's the one. Be patient toward all men. So there's some little rapid-fire things there. And of course, you read on down 16, 17, 18. All those are like that. Support the weak. That's what we want to talk about tonight. But before we do, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to really help us through our study. Father, we're very grateful tonight to be here. Really grateful for the testimonies. You know, it's just great to come to church and hear people praising you for things you've done in their lives. It just reminds me, Lord, that you're not just real when we're at home, we're real when we're at church, but you're real in people's lives all the way through. And we're very thankful for that, Lord. Very thankful that the Bates have seen their house sold, and I know this is one piece of things that you've been doing to try to answer, not trying, but in answer to prayers that they've been praying, and I know they wanted to move away from the neighborhood, so that really is special. Now, Father, tonight we pray in Jesus' name that you will help us to really get the gist of what we're studying here on support the weak and be very, very responsive to these words. We ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Now, this support here, he says support the weak, that could be financial support. Or support the weak, that could be moral support. Galatians 6:14 says essentially the same thing. It says, bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of, is that how you put it? The law of Christ? Galatians 6, I said 14, I meant 2. Bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Same kind of thing. The idea is that each of us could use a little support from time to time. I mean, there are times when we get weak. There are times when we get burdened. Could be something that's inside. It just could be burdened by a lot of things going on. And we need somebody to encourage us. I mean, can you imagine a boxer? You know, everybody knows what a boxing match looks like. There's two boxers. They come to the center of the referee, or somebody gets on the microphone, now in this corner, you know, and they get all that thing, and they're wearing the robes, they throw all that off. Then the fight starts, and all that fanfare is gone. It's just those two guys in the ring and one referee, and they're pounding each other. Can you imagine what it'd be like when the bell rang, ding, 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 like that, and the guy turns around, and he's got an empty corner with an empty stool and no water and no towel? That'd be really discouraging. I mean, there's something about being able to turn around and see somebody in your corner, you know. And so the thing is, sometimes life can be discouraging and we need to encourage each other. We need somebody in our corner. So here's some things to consider when you consider this exhortation to support the weak. First of all, when you need encouragement, always go first to the Lord. Bobby and I, he didn't have any idea what message the Lord was getting, and he's in there just trusting Jesus, tell it to Jesus, tell, you know. I mean, I'm like, I'm sitting there singing these songs, I'm going, boy, this is going to be a good first point. The thing to do is to always go first to the Lord. Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30. And in 1 Samuel chapter 30, in case you're not familiar with the passage, David and his men have gone with the king of the Philistines to fight against Israel, and they left the town where they'd been living, which is called Ziklag, and the advisors, the princes to the king, said, you can't take this guy with you. I mean, the greatest way for him to endear himself to King Saul, who hates him, is to kill us. You got to send him home. But by the time they get home, their town has been burned up. All of their wives, all of their children, and all of their possessions are gone. So the men that have been traveling with David are exceedingly discouraged because they can't fight, and they've been attacked, and they weren't there to defend. And they probably thought it was a stupid proposition for him to go anyway. So in 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 6, David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Now listen, when you need support, best place to go is to the Lord. He's always in your corner. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's always there for you. And oftentimes what happens to us when we get discouraged is we start kind of having a pity party. And then what we do, we're looking around and expecting some people to help us, and they're not coming around. And then what happens is we want to go get somebody else to help us, and we get discouraged because we're not finding the kind of help from people that we want, and we have forgotten to include the Lord in that encouragement. Now, David didn't have anybody else to turn to. But always, regardless of whether we have somebody to turn to or not, we always ought to go to the Lord, because He's not going to fail you. And He knows exactly how to encourage you. And the nice thing about it is you can tell Him anything. He already knows it. I mean, you know, there's nothing like taking a walk in your neighborhood by yourself in the cool of the day, if you can find that time of day coming up, and just hash it out with the Lord until you get the thing settled and know that He's encouraged you. So when you need encouragement, always go first to the Lord. Second thing. You need support, not when you're strong, but when you're weak. Don't be afraid to admit that. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, when you've been saved a while and you've been living for the Lord, and let's say you're a man and you got your act together, or you're a woman and you've already raised your kids and you got your act together and everybody depends upon you. Hey, let me tell you something. You're not Superman. And you're not Superwoman. And there are times when it's going to be more than you can handle. And what you're going to have to do in order to seek encouragement from others is you're going to have to admit, I can't get this one on my own. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, notice what Paul says to the Corinthians. Now remember, the Corinthians are carnal Christians. They're babes. They're still arguing about whether they follow Paul or Peter or Apollos. They got trouble with all kinds of things going on in their church. And you know what Paul says to these Christians in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 3? I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. I was having a hard time. Now, I realize that some of those things are spiritual, but nevertheless, listen, Paul admitted to the Christians, to the Corinthians, he was weak, he was afraid, and he was trembling. And you know what? He was glad for some encouragement, and he was glad for some refreshment. You're in 1 Corinthians, go to the last chapter. You know where Paul always signs off and says his farewells and talks about some of his traveling companions or some of the people there in the city. Look what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 at verses 17 and 18. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 17 and 18, he said, I am glad of the coming of Stephanas. Now notice up there in verse 15, Stephanas is the first fruits of Achaia. He's from them. I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus. For that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied, for they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. He said it was a refreshment to see these guys. And they brought something that I needed. Let me tell you, as strong a man as Paul was, and as much as he could depend upon the grace of God to help him through persecution and necessities and distresses and reproaches and infirmities, he enjoyed a good friend. It helped him. That was a benefit to him. So let me just say, that when it comes down to support the weak, you might be on the receiving end of that sometime. You might need to be on the receiving end of that sometime. And that's not bad. Don't assume that people are going to recognize that you need that support. Sometimes, have you ever done this? You get down on yourself and you come to church and you're thinking to yourself, well, they ought to know. I need somebody to help me right now. And you know what? A lot of times we're so happy to see each other and find out what people have been doing and giggling and carrying on and all that. A person who's a little bit wounded and a little bit down can slip right in, unnoticed, take a seat, right in the midst of us, pray, and walk out unnoticed, and we're not going to catch that. And if you come in expecting that Christians should be able to tell, just remember, maybe the problem is you didn't want to admit it. And that's why you were waiting on somebody to come to you, or you had an expectation that all these spiritual giants around here ought to know these things, when the truth of the matter is, when you're sick, you go to the doctor and you tell him. When you're broke, you go to the banker and you tell him. It's okay to tell another folk and say, you know what, I'm not doing so well right now. I could use a little support. That's okay. It's just okay. But listen, when you do need that, don't be whiny about it. Don't be a whiny baby. You know, a lot of times what you need is somebody, you don't need, I mean, there's only so long people are going to sit still to listen to you cry. Okay? You know, once you've soaked this shoulder and soaked that shoulder, it's about all the soaking you're going to do on that one. Do you understand? And so, listen. If you're carrying a burden that's too heavy for you to carry alone, get some help. And that's okay. All right, so when you need encouragement, go first to the Lord. But don't be afraid to tell somebody else, I need some help. Here's the next thing. The next thing is, because you are a super strong Christian, be on the lookout for somebody who's not. Try to see if you can find somebody that needs a little bit of help and be ready to help them. Turn to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. In Colossians chapter 4, this is one good reason to be in church, because this is where people come to get it. You know, refreshment. Paul said in another epistle, he said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. This is where we get help. Colossians chapter 4, look at verse 11. Paul said, and Jesus, Colossians 4:11, Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision, he's mentioning Aristarchus and Marcus in verse 10, who are of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers under the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. You see that? They're my helpers, but they have been a comfort unto me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God, for I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis. You see that? That Epaphras is one of those guys that was on the lookout, fervently praying for those folks. You just got to know that we need to be zealous to help other people. In other words, we come to church. I like to come to church. I enjoy the fellowship. I like to preach. I like to hear preaching. I love to sing. But you got to know that there are other people that came in here a little wounded, a little beat up, a little overburdened, and we want to be, Johnny on the spot to recognize, God may need some help. You say, how am I going to know that? Well, there's a couple of ways. One of the ways is just to check the countenance. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop. You ever see a person who's normally chipper come in like this? Maybe something's wrong. Maybe something's wrong. You say, well, I'm not too good at reading people. I'd hate to go up somebody and offer my help and find out that they didn't need it. I said, well, okay, you know, another way is to do what Epaphras did and pray for them. A lot of times what you find out when you're praying for each other, the Lord alerts you to a little something. And it just turns out that you happen to go by or say just the right thing at just the right time and don't even realize how much it encouraged them. And you've offered them some support that they've definitely needed. So be on the lookout for people who need your support. When he says support the weak, don't only be ready to do that, but be on the lookout for it. Now, here's another thing. Support the weak, he said. Well, remember that support and dependence are two different things. Okay? You're supposed to help them up until they're strong again. You're not going to piggyback them around until Jesus comes. Okay? Support and dependence are two different things. Look in 2 Thessalonians. You're almost there anyway. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. And now, because of 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 10, don't be afraid to help somebody when they have a need, okay? Don't be afraid to do that. But look at this, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. Even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. Now there's times when you're going to have to help somebody through a difficult situation, but you don't want to adopt a wart in the body of Christ, or a corn, or a toothache in the body of Christ. In other words, your purpose in trying to support somebody that's weak is to help them get strong enough. Like you look at that guy in Acts chapter 3 that was lame from his mother's womb, and he's out there at the beautiful gate, and he's begging for an alms. Peter comes and he preaches to him Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He helps him to get to his feet. Then he lets him go because strength is coming into his ankle bones. All right? So that's the point. Help them up. Let them get strong. Get their legs under them. Send them on their way. Support and dependence are two different things. Their burden shouldn't become your permanent responsibility. If you're carrying somebody like that, you're not doing them any favors. You're enabling their problem. And furthermore, now you've got more than you can carry, and everybody else is like this, and you're going, how come nobody helped me? They don't want you a monkey. You know? They said you made a mistake. Now you have to deal with that. And a lot of times that means telling somebody no, which can be a very hard thing to do. But it has to be done for their own good at some point. That's what Paul said. Don't feed those guys anymore. They're freeloaders. Tell them to go get a job and shush their mouths and feed themselves. And that's really important. That's a hard thing to remember when you get a heart for the ministry, because as I've said before, the heart of the ministry is that you have a need to be needed, so you find a great deal of satisfaction in helping somebody else. Well, you don't want to keep them weak so you can keep feeling good. Because I guarantee you, after a while, it's going to get more than you want to carry, and you won't be feeling good about it anymore. Okay? So remember these things. And then one more. Remember this, that support and accountability are two different things. Support and accountability are two different things. Turn to Romans chapter 14. You say, well, why would you even put those two together? You'll see. Romans chapter 14, look at verse 12. This is really encroaching into churches, and it has been for the last at least 15, maybe 20 years. And so we really need to make this clear. Romans 14, 12 says, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to each other. Is that what it says? No, it doesn't say that at all. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. As a matter of fact, he says in verse 10, why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For as it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Why would you put those two together? Because what came from AA and psychology is something called support groups. You ever heard of one of those? All right, in the support group, you become accountable to that, to the folks in that group, or you become accountable to your, sponsor. And that, because that's where they ask you, did you commit? No, they don't call it sin. Did you do what you do bad? And you're supposed to say, no, I didn't do that. And you're supposed to be honest, and they're supposed to be able to call you on that. And so your accountability goes to that person. Well, there's a lot of literature now, and this all kind of came in through Rick Warren, some other things. But what it was is, this is what they're saying. If you can't find the strength to deal with the sins in your life on your own or with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, then get an accountability group, because then with those accountability partners, you'll have the strength to get over that sin. That is absolutely backwards. If the blood of Jesus Christ can't cleanse you from all iniquity, which is what the Bible says that it will do, then I'm going to guarantee you two people who don't live with you 24 hours a day and know everything that's going on inside and never shed their blood for you surely aren't going to be able to do it. That's crazy. It's ludicrous. Your accountability is to God first and foremost. And so don't worry about getting an accountability partner. And don't come to me and ask me to be your accountability partner. That's a mess. I don't want that. Or for me or for you. Now, if you need my support, I'll be glad to give you my support and encouragement. I'd be delighted. I had a fellow tell me one day, he said, you are, in all my life, this guy was, I think, in his 40s, he said, you're the only male figure in my life that has offered me support and encouragement, and I appreciate that. Well, that's really something. That says a lot about where he came from, but that's a real compliment. I'm not down there asking this person to be accountable to me, but I'm glad to offer some support. I think it's a real benefit of the ministry. So the thing is, I'm not going to demand of you to be accountable to me in your personal affairs and your matters of life and your sins. You take those things to the Lord. He's the only one who can make you free. And He knows those matters in your life even better than you do, really. And that's why you want to have a real open... So when we get this idea of let's be supportive of the weak, let's don't replace God in this deal at all. And let's don't get them dependent. And let's don't be so proud that we can't raise our hand and say, somebody help me. Because I'll tell you what, it'll make a lot of difference. And it's what Paul told us to do. Always be ready to help someone else who's burdened and weak. They need the encouragement. It's amazing what a good word will do sometimes. A pat on the back. Just take somebody to lunch. How much that can really give them joy and fellowship. And when you find yourself burdened down, don't be afraid to say, hey, I need a friend. I need some help. I remember when we were in school training for the ministry, Dr. Ruppman used to say, he said, you know what some of you guys need? Some of you guys just need a good friend. There's a lot to be said for that. Amen. Father, we're sure thankful tonight to be able to see a very simple lesson from the Scripture that can be a big, big help to us all. And I'm asking you, Lord, for us to be able to fulfill the words of Paul in that epistle, support the weak. For we ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.